Coming up on TMS, so how big is that Big Hero 6?
It's theater time for Trek nerds.
The dangers of laundry detergents.
Pizza Hut is the borderlands of pizza places.
It's a weird reference, but you'll understand when we get there. Evil Dead coming to TV.
JGL is going to be Edward Snowden.
Fitness geek.
Jury duty and more, but no fitness geek on this episode of The Morning Stream.
When you get hold of the Nintendo Entertainment System. When you master Rob, the video robot. And meet the challenge of Gyromites. When you shoot the light-sensing Zapper. When you play the system with so many arcade hits. You're playing with power. The Nintendo Entertainment System Deluxe Set. Batteries not included. Other games sold separately. Your parents help you hook it up.
Can't even mop right.
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream, better than a straw tart blueberry pop tart.
Oh my gosh, good morning everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. This is a proper Morning Stream with me, Scott Johnson, and him, Brian Ibbett.
Much better than that improper one yesterday.
Yeah, man, the impropriety that just permeated yesterday's episode with Steven Schleicher. Actually, he did a bang-up job, and he kept the seat nice and warm for you.
He did, yeah, even he left me a mint. I hope that's a mint. It's unwrapped.
It's a smint. Stephen Mint. So you can get it, Smint.
A Stephen Mint. Sure, Smint.
Yeah, he did a great job, and it was fun, and we had lots of fun. And I even blew my Hilton bathroom nightmare story yesterday and didn't save it for you.
Oh, I didn't even hear that, so I can't wait to listen to
yesterday's
rest of yesterday's show. I caught a little bit of it. But
Well, it was right at the beginning, and it basically, I don't know if you ever, okay, so you weren't in the Hilton. Where were you this weekend?
No, we stayed at the Hampton Inn and Suites. That's actually where I always stay.
Yeah.
When I go to Anaheim. It's a little bit, you know, it's a two-block walk up to the hotels and stuff, but that's actually kind of nice.
Yeah. No, it is in a way, because you avoid the chaos, right?
I avoid the chaos. It, you know, puts me a little further away from everything, and meeting people for breakfast takes a little bit longer, but it's you know, it's a very comfortable hotel, and they've got a microwave. You get a microwave. I need a microwave for my eye thing.
I love what you just said. They've got a microwave. You need a microwave. I got a microwave for my eye thing. It's like this.
Good morning. Good morning. The news this morning. Good morning.
That was great. I meant to even, so all full stop here. I forgot to ask before the trip. I forgot to ask during the trip, and I almost forgot to ask today. That eye thing, I thought there was going to be like maybe a surgery thing before you
there
left.
It was supposed to be on Monday, so a week ago yesterday, and I was going to actually, they were going to, did I tell you what they were going to do?
Yeah, then go in there and lance.
Flip my eyelid open upside down or inside out, and then shunk.
Yeah, gross. It's awful. It's the worst thing.
The mass, if I call it a mass, it's not really a mass. I mean, it's mass makes it sound like it's something dangerous. It's
well, scientifically speaking, everything is a mass, so you're okay. You're all right.
Anyway, it's been breaking up a little bit, and it's definitely gotten smaller than it was a month ago. So, or even 2 weeks ago. Yeah. So as long as I keep putting the hot compress on it, it'll break up to the point where it's gone. It's non-existent. Even today, you can barely see it. Well, you didn't notice it, right?
No, I didn't notice a thing. Yeah. That's the funny bit about it. I think I would have said something if I'd
you totally would have. Nicole said something, and only because I think when I saw her, I hadn't had the compress on, so it was like a little, actually she was saying my whole eye was red.
Oh.
And I think that was just from a day at Disneyland, and you know.
I had that Friday night, like major red eye, both eyes.
Some mouse in my eye. Yeah.
Little mouse turd. It's the magical, what is it? The Miracle Kingdom? What is it? Magical Kingdom. There you go.
The Magic Kingdom, yes.
Or Magic, geez, when's the last time I was at Disneyland? Anyway, well, it was a really fun time and a highlight for me, obviously, seeing friends and hanging out and spending time
with you. Well, you were going to say something about the Hilton bathroom.
Yeah, so the Hilton bathroom, the full story was yesterday.
I'll listen to the full story yesterday.
To suffice it to say, it is still, I look back on the weekend and still it is the most nightmarish moment of the entire event for me. It was horrifying. Now, this is the morning after the Saturday night partying, right? It's Sunday early morning. It's 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. And there's just a few worker people kind of scurrying around cleaning, I figure they're cleaning. In fact, they have police taped off the Hilton bar area. And just the night before.
Wow, so the CSI techs can go and analyze it.
Yeah, right. Do the chalk outlines of the body.
Look for Terpster's fingerprints.
Sure.
Is basically the deal.
Sure, so they can go after him properly and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's America. We need due process. but in that space, it's just weird to think that, you know, some 3 hours previous is all, I was in that bar hanging out with Chris Metzen and the girl who did the DirecTV this year, Michelle Morrow.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering about her. Okay.
Super nice. My gosh, she's nice. And she said, she comes up and Kat Metzen introduced us. She goes, hey, this is Scott from The Instance. He just wanted to meet you. And she goes, oh, no way. I listened to that show. I follow you on Twitter. And she's like, I'll freak it out. And I'm like,
oh no way.
I'm like, dude, you're far too charming, cute, and adorable to follow me anywhere. So stop doing that and unsubscribe to the show. But anyway, we're going to interview her. It'll be really fun to get her on.
Oh, very cool.
Because she was part of that documentary, and I guess she had that terrible accident, and WOW kind of helped her get through it. And
oh, wow. Didn't hear about any of that.
Yeah, almost. Have you seen the documentary yet? You got to watch that thing.
No. It's on my list to watch today. I haven't had a chance, man.
It's so good. You'll love it.
Yesterday was one of those, something that I would consider to be a perfect day.
Almost perfect day. Do tell, because I could use one. Well, how'd you do it?
All right. Yesterday, got up. I'm sorry, not yesterday. Yesterday was a travel day. I would say Sunday. I'm sorry. Sunday was the perfect day.
You know, you could sing the beat. You could go, got up,
it
got out of bed.
It was a perfect day.
Drug a comb across your head. But that's the part that would break, because you don't really need to put a comb across your head. No, anyway,
I really
continue.
Don't. You lose me in the first lyric of Day in the Life. All right. So got up, met my Tristan and I, still in California. Had a free day in California. Didn't really have any commitments.
Yeah.
It was just a day where we could do whatever we want.
Yeah.
Got up, met some family. I've got my aunt and uncle who live out in California, in Simi Valley, with their daughters and their daughters' husbands. Met them all for breakfast at the Pacific Dining Car in Wilshire, in Santa Monica. Yeah. Beautiful place. Nice oak, you know, walls. Like, this place was a speakeasy, and you can totally tell that it was like a... you can totally tell it was a speakeasy. Like, they have not updated the interior of that place since...
Since the
1900s.
Wow. All right.
Then came back, changed, went to the beach, and went to Huntington Beach, played around out there for a little while, took some pictures, did some fun stuff with the slow-mo camera on my phone, like of waves coming in and Tristan, like, you know, skipping rocks and stuff. Hit an In-N-Out burger on the way back. Got to have an In-N-Out burger while you're in California.
Still,
I know it's no big deal to you.
Well,
no,
you
novelty
know,
for Scott.
I know. The conveniences of life just flow to me like milk and honey. And for Brian, he's got to go to California to get a good burger. I understand. It's fine.
It's true.
Yeah.
Then came back to the hotel, changed again, went out to Downtown Disney, which is that kind of shopping and entertainment district that's outside of Disneyland. It's not inside the parks or anything.
Yeah.
They've got a humongous Disney store, as well as movie theaters and restaurants. Went and did a little bit of shopping, picked up some souvenirs for some people back here who are having some birthdays soon, and then went and saw Big Hero 6.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic.
That's all I've heard.
It
Keep
is
hearing
so
how
good.
Amazing it is. Schleicher could barely contain himself yesterday.
Yeah. It's got that perfect hybrid of superhero movie, Disney film. You know, it's got to feel like a Disney film. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you know, if they could do the Invincible, if they ever do an Invincible movie, this is the kind of style I'd like to see it in. Not live action, but this kind of
That's an interesting idea, Invincible in this style.
It would fit perfectly in this style. Yeah. Kind of a lot of an anime influence. I mean, the thing takes place in San Francisco, Tokyo.
Yeah.
And there's a huge anime kind of feel to the whole thing.
So they'd never do it because it's an Image comic.
It's not a Marvel property.
But Image, hey, get with Sony or some other knucklehead and do that. That's a great idea. Anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or DreamWorks or something.
Sure.
Went and got Earl of Sandwich. This is a sandwich place that I always go to when I'm in Vegas. And I didn't realize that there were any outside of Vegas. I think there are two or three on the Strip. But I always try and make a point when I'm in Vegas to go to this place because their sandwiches are so damn good. Mm. And so we get it over to Downtown Disney and I see that there's one there. And Tristan's like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. So we got Earl of Sandwich after the movie, went back, hung out in the hot tub, met some people who were not there for BlizzCon, but were there for some fitness conference, who actually turned out to live about 6 miles up the road from us.
Oh my gosh. In Arvada, Colorado.
In Louisville. The south end of Louisville, which is pretty close to
now,
here.
Now, is it Louisville or Louisville?
Here in Colorado, it's Louisville.
So it's instead of the Louisville Kentucky, slugger, it's the Louisville plugger. That's what that is.
That's exactly what it is.
Gross.
But it was just like a perfect day. If Tina were there, it would have been absolutely perfect. But, yeah. Oh, yeah, we even got Italian ices. There was an Italian ice place right next to the hotel we were staying in. So we got a couple Italian ices. I mean, it was just like,
wonderful, yeah.
Good entertainment.
That sounds like the true vacation on top of, you know, a pretty rad conference, but the perfect way to wind down that day after. That's great.
It really was, yeah.
I'm jealous. Kim is jealous, and she's not even here hearing this. Speaking of Italian ice, they had an Italian ice truck there at the convention there, and it was fantastic. However,
in the same company, might have been the same one.
Well, and here's the story I saved for today. So yesterday's story was about the nightmare bathroom scenario, right, which again, I can't wait for you to hear because it was truly horrific, but I don't want to bore the listeners with it one more time.
Sure.
So instead, I will tell you this story. I go out there because it's time to eat something, and I was starting to feel, you know, by Saturday night, you're starting to feel pretty daring, you know? You're just like, this conference has gone well. The instance is over. Things are going great. I'm going to go hang out with Metzen later. I'm going to eat some food from a food truck, and it's going to be greasy, and it's going to be fantastic. Well, that's kind of the stuff the doctor tells me to stay away from, right?
Okay.
So this isn't kind of about that, although I paid for that when I got home. But I go out there, and we get the Italian ice, and I thought, well, I just want to walk around the backs of these things. They all have these festive fronts, you know, with all this stuff going on, and it's like Vegas out front of these trucks. And
yeah, there was a guy who won one of the seasons of Chopped.
Yeah,
another one that was second place in the Great Food Truck Race. Mm-hmm. There was a place called Barcelona that had some amazing ceviche.
Mm-hmm. I mean, these are top notch. As food trucks go, they're top of their game, right? So I go around these things, and I start to see the underbelly a little bit. And the underbelly meaning, you know, overflowing trash cans. No big deal. I saw a cat digging through something. All right, fine. No big deal. Here's the real problem. Some of those trucks have, like, screen doors in the rear for exit and entry for those guys.
Sure.
And sometimes they're wide open. And I went around one that had a giant line and looked inside. Dude, it is just the people in there scurrying around making things. But it was, and I'm not kidding, a little bit of trash, litter, and food on the ground. I can understand that. You're in a rush. You're always rushing around. You're trying to hurry. Things get dropped, whatever. You don't worry about it. You sweep it out every 20 minutes. No big deal. This was like up to the middle of their shins in trash and like half made like quesadillas and like food things and goo. It was horrifying. Like this is the most disgusting looking work environment that I've ever seen. And nobody would notice unless you went around the back and looked through the hole you're not supposed to look through.
Well, here's the thing though. They don't have a lot of space in there.
Hardly any. Yeah.
And especially when things get busy. I mean, when you've got a line of hungry nerds.
Yeah.
It's my favorite iOS game, by the way, is Hungry Nerds. When you've got a line of hungry nerds.
You know,
their
free-to-play model kind of sucks though. I hate
Exactly.
And
freemium. buying extra packs of nerds, man, right. That gets expensive.
Yeah.
You've got a big line of people waiting for food and ordering, and this is dinner rush or lunch rush or whatever. It's one of these times you've just got to basically say, priority number one, getting food out. We'll clean up afterwards. We don't have a lot of room in here. Mm-hmm. And you know what's great about seeing those partially made quesadillas on the floor?
Yeah.
Is that means they did not hand out something that fell on the floor, pick it back up, and hand it to a customer.
Okay, fair. That is an entirely fair point. And again, I think the logistics of it, just like you're explaining, totally explain it. I hold it not against them.
Sure.
But once again, you just realize life is so much about facades that just lightly cover a pile of shit. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, and the food is amazing. And the food, well, I shouldn't say the food was amazing. I should not have been eating that food. I can tell you that right now.
Oh, there were some great things should have been eating there.
There was great food. There was stuff to get. No question about it. But there's so much fried stuff. It's so fried. Oh. Like, everything's fried.
You know what, though? Okay. Yeah, I'd say those food trucks, you boil them down into a pie chart.
All right.
They are
a fried pie chart. Got it.
A pie. Well, we'll get to the fried. I'd say about maybe 15% fried stuff.
All right.
And 85% pulled pork tacos. Every single food truck had some sort of pulled pork item. It was like pulled pork grilled cheese, pulled pork tacos, pulled pork quesadilla.
Yeah.
Apparently pulled pork is the rivers run thick with pulled pork in Anaheim.
Right. It's truly.
And so do the bathrooms later.
They sure do. Oh, that bathroom. Again, if you just listen to the first part of the show tomorrow, you'll be,
I mean, I'm sure.
Truly that was the rear end of the facade for me. Because good Lord. I mean, I've never seen such human base. I've never seen us go so low. It's the lowest form of humanity in that room. It was awful.
Oh, no. Really?
It would have to have been a murder for it to get worse. It was so bad. Anyway, fantastic trip. I'm sure other little stories and things will crop up as we go.
Yep.
Can't wait to see Big Hero 6. Can't wait to see Interstellar. We're way behind because of all this.
I think, I don't know when I'm going to be able to see Interstellar because, again, trip this weekend.
Yeah.
There's a movie theater right by the hotel, but I'm not sure, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I want to go without Tina. I think that's one she does want to see.
Well, maybe I'll show everybody the camera I snuck into the Blizzard, the Warcraft movie panel and took video of that entire thing. Just kidding. Don't kill me. I didn't
Oh, my
that.
God. That is such dangerous ground to...
I absolutely did not do that. I never would do that.
No.
My gosh.
That thing was amazing.
Wasn't it,
though? I can't wait till it's something that I can watch like over and over and pause and look at things and like take it in because it was so beautiful.
I spent a chunk of time yesterday and I'll do some more today catching up on all the panels I missed because you know when you're actually there, you just don't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't see near enough. You're at the Hearthstone finals like we were and then something else is happening that's equally important and you just don't see it. Well, then you get to come home and in your leisurely moments... watch that stuff. So that's what
leisurely
I'm,
moments. What are you talking about?
What's the deal? I can't even I can't even do Seinfeld. I don't know what's going on. See, I can't. I still can't get it.
It's like a Betty Davis movie there all of a sudden.
Because I was in that bar yelling. I'm the only sober person there, first of all. I'm the only one not drinking. I got 50 people asking me if they'll saying, hey, let me buy you a drink, Scott. I love your show. Let me buy you a drink. I'm like, you know, I don't drink, but. Hey, I'll take a Coke or something. All right, man, I got this. And they'd scurry around and bring me Cokes. And I had to pee so bad when I left. It was crazy. Anyway, let's call Daryl because he's probably sitting there going, how come they aren't calling me? What's going on? I missed the show. Okay, here he comes. Today we get to act, so I'm very excited about this episode of Stump Trek Nerd. You know those ones where we get to do a little acting.
Yeah. It's a TMS theater.
Yeah, here we go. Theme time. Oh, lucky here. It's Stump and Trek Nerd brought to you by...
a wet pulled pork taco.
Ooh.
I don't know if it was pulled pork, but I had to add that.
No, but I'll have to explain. Ooh, okay. We'll get Daryl on, and then I will explain as he's here. Daryl, are you here?
I'm here. You may explain.
All right. Here's what happened.
Explain why Daryl's here.
So I ate poorly in California that last day. Sunday morning at 5 a.m., I'm kind of paying for it. Okay, my guts are all in a knot. And I get home, and we're almost home, I guess at about whatever it was, 11:30 in the morning here or something. And this is Sunday, and I'm starving. And so is Kim. We're like, well, we haven't really eaten anything all day. We were dead tired. And we got up at, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. So she says, well, hey, let's just stop and get some. I said, well, let's just whatever, what's open. And we tried to go to Chick-fil-A, closed. I forgot. Those guys close on Sundays. Like, oh, well, screw that. Where else can we go? How about Taco Bell? Hey, that sounds great. Taco Bell. Why not? Taco Bell. It's fine. I'll get 3 chicken soft tacos. Those are fine. Innocuous. No problem. Get them. No big issue. I get those. I get them home. There are 3 of them. 2 of them are perfectly formed. They look like chicken soft tacos from Taco Bell. This is like you expect, almost from the photos, you know, just nicely done. You put a little the mild sauce in there and you just chow those down. And I eat them very mindfully and slowly, and I'm not being a pig or anything. And I eat one and I eat 2, and then I go to the 3rd one. And the 3rd one is all wet, like soaking wet. And I don't know why it's all wet. I smell it. It smells fine.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's just like tomato, I was going to say tomato juice, but that brings to mind, you know, it's not the thickness of tomato juice, but it's like the, you know, the stuff that's on the inside of the tomatoes along with the seeds.
Yeah.
That liquid.
That liquid. That's not a bad comparison, but it also felt very like aloe vera hand cream,
really?
Kind of consistency, kind of very viscous. Thick and liquid, Brian. It's kind of what it was like. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Now
I'm talking your language.
So, well, I'm stepping away slowly.
Yeah, I don't blame you. So I'm thinking, well, what do I do here? It's probably fine, I'm thinking. It's got to be fine. It's a fresh batch this morning. They've just opened not long ago. Well, I guess they're 24 hours, but whatever. It's the morning thing. It should be fine. So I go ahead and eat said wet, slimy taco.
Mm-hmm.
Not the best idea I've had in the last little while, because we proceeded to take a power nap, and we were so tired. Kim and I thought we'll lay down for a couple hours, no big deal. We laid down at noon. We woke up at 6 p.m. All right, so we slept 6 hours.
Yep.
It's like, holy shite, what the hell did we do? And we were still tired, and we slept just fine later that night. But as I went to bed, I went, oh, kind of, you know, not feeling that great. Something's up here. Maybe I need some more sleep or whatever. Go to sleep. Get up yesterday. Have a show, but the whole time I'm like, oh, what's going on? And then the whole rest of yesterday, nauseous beyond my means, felt like garbage the entire day. It's that slimy freaking wet taco, dude. Guaranteed. It had to have been, those bastards.
I wonder what it was. Wonder what the...
freaking Hector's armpit, for all I know. I don't know what happened.
But I mean, it's not like, you know, if it was something bad, it's not like... that wouldn't have been on the other inside the other tacos, right? I mean, if it was
good point, but what I just don't understand.
They didn't
those...
bring in a pinch hitter to make the third taco.
Hey, we're a shorter guy. Can we get Sweaty Bill over here to make the third taco? I mean, maybe
right, exactly.
Maybe Sweaty Bill did it. But the point is that the first two were perfectly fine. The last one definitely not. And my instinct was not to eat it. So why the hell did I eat it? I mean, that's the problem here. I'm not even going to blame Taco Bell. For all I know, that's some guy's urine. I don't know. I have no idea. But I'm not even going to blame them at this point, because at some point when you get it in that condition, it is on me to make a proper decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I blew it.
Right.
Why did I eat that thing? So I spent the whole day. I couldn't eat anything else. I was gut bombed all day. I just felt terrible. Finally, this morning, I feel better now. But it was just, I'm sure that was it. What else could it have been? And that was and stack that on top of a weekend of, you know, eating greasy truck food. I think it was just me asking for trouble. Anyway, bottom line is, don't eat a wet taco, okay? That's all I'm saying to you people. If you've got the opportunity and it's there before you, choose not to eat the wet taco. All right? Okay. Oh, boy, that's going to make the mashup, isn't it? All right, Daryl.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. Daryl is here. He is the Trek Nerd. Daryl, how you doing? What's going on?
Oh, I guess I'm okay.
Oh, you sound like you're not sure.
Well, I don't know if anybody knows, but this house selling and buying stuff is just
it's a pain in the rump.
Yeah.
It's a stress basket is what it is.
I don't like it. It is a big basket of stress. Is it all going the way you need it to, though? I mean, are things moving along?
So far, and we had an inspection yesterday on the new place, and they found a bunch of stuff, but it's not super deal killer stuff.
Good.
But
no corpses in the walls or anything weird like that?
No, nothing like that.
Not yet, anyway.
No.
I hope that all goes well. I mean, having just gone through that a year ago, I feel your pain. It is your pain I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get you a Stump a Trek Nerd question that'll just
I think
be...
it's that and not the tacos.
Yeah, it's not the tacos. You'll be fine. We're going to give you a Stump a Trivia Trek thing question here thing.
Stump a Trivia.
But we're going to do... Today is acting day. We love this, right? We love to do some acting.
We love this.
We'd like to know, what episode from The Next Generation does this scene come from? I will be playing the part of William Riker. Brian will be playing the part of Minuet. All right? So here we go. There's no multiple choice, so you should be able to just get this answer, is what Mike thinks. So here is our act of... Here's the act we're going to play. Here we go. What's your name and tell me why you... What's your name and tell me you love jazz?
My name is Minuet. I love all jazz except Disneyland.
Why not Dixieland?
My daddy's coming home on September. Because you can't dance to it.
My girl. What a creepy exchange between Riker and Robot.
Especially that, my girl.
My girl. What a weirdo. All right. So no multiple choice. This one should be too easy.
My fake girl that I programmed.
Exactly. There are two titles, I guess, for this. Do you gather that from the answer there, Brian? See how he's got.
He's saying no. Like, he's saying no.
Well, there's only one right answer.
No multiple choice.
No. I'm saying after answer there. Would you say that looks like he's got one or? I mean, in other words, I don't want to say it.
Yes, either one of those answers is correct.
Okay, all right. So
one
there's.
Or what?
Well,
one or zero?
What?
Oh, look at this guy.
Look at the brain on Daryl. Look
he's
at the.
Already might know in this.
This is impressive. All right. Well, we're not doing this envelope yet then because we want Daryl to get his. Or do we even know if Daryl got this or is shipping this to him or not? Let's find out. Let's see. Guys, closed. Bup, 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 bup. Doesn't say. I don't know if this got sent to Daryl as well or not. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Basically, they have the option. It's like, well, you can send it to the host. We'd love it to go to Daryl too,
yeah.
But yeah.
Underneath the photo, he says, color code for flavors. All of you should have one of each. So he wouldn't say that if there was, he would just say both of you should have one of each.
Oh, that's a good point. All right. So. Dude, you're like a detective. That was amazing what you just did.
Right. Well, that was me. That was that damn Jinx contest thing during BlizzCon.
Mm.
Next year, I'm totally starting that way earlier because I'm sitting there during the Hearthstone finals, scrambling to solve this logic puzzle so that Tristan can get some patches and be entered to win something. Yeah. Dude, that thing was really hard.
That's what I heard. You weren't the only person to say so, and you are like kind of custom built for that kind of stuff. So
yeah, the logic puzzle I was able to suss out, but there were two other parts, or one other part specifically. The scavenger hunt part of it was fine. I could have done that one.
Didn't you feel like they got a lot more gamified with the actual convention this year than they have in the past? Like,
yeah, totally. Yeah. And a lot more. My God, every single booth had one of those spinning ticker wheels.
Yep.
You know, spin the wheel of fortune to win a prize.
Yep.
And apparently Tristan is, I'm going to have to watch that kid. I think he's going to be like a gambling addict.
Uh-oh.
Because he was all over those spinning wheels. Oh, Dad, let's go do the Steel Series one. Let's see if we can get something. Or let's go do the Turtle Beach one. And then those damn Hearthstone coins that you could spend on getting those little balls, those little buildable Blizzard character balls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every once in a while, you'd get a little container that had a code in it, which you could trade for a Tyrael sword or an in-game piece of loot or something. And he would have almost spent all of his money on those damn coins and trying to get prizes.
Well,
I swear, it's one tick away from the slot machines.
Yeah, I completely agree. And they were way into that this year. And the collectible, Hearthstone cards were crazy to go find. And then the pin collecting, there was all kinds of pin stuff, pin trading.
I'm really bummed that I didn't. The lines were so long for the pins. I really wanted to go get a set of those pins because those were a beautiful set.
They're
of pins.
Pretty awesome. Carter got we gave Carter one of the swag bags, and they came with the pins. Right, one pin.
Right.
She got a gold-plated version of a normal. So she got, like, the rare one. She got a gold Kerrigan, and it's badass.
That's very cool.
So grats to her and her luckiness, and hopefully she won't be a gambling addict as well one day. Daryl, let's get to some birthdays, I guess, since we can't. We'll wait for you to get this candy. It should be there anytime.
Yeah. In fact, it might be in the mailbox now, but I was running around so crazy yesterday I think I forgot to check the mail.
Yeah, it could be today.
Anyway,
we'll work it out. Any birthdays today? What's going on?
Yes, we have Larry Anthony. He's 77 today. He was a blue shirt in The Man Trap, episode to air of TOS or any Star Trek. And he was also a red shirt on Dagger of the Mine.
Did you call him a red shirt? Is that what you said just
red
now?
Shirt.
A red shirt. well, very, very nice. And he's still with us, right? Still kicking.
Yeah, still around.
I like that. I like it when they're still alive. That makes me happy. May we all live as long as that guy and more. All right, well, let's get back to your question. We did that little act there. There is a possible one of two. There are two correct answers to the name of this episode. And you can name either one you'd like.
Well, there's one correct name of the episode, but there's a we'll take that if need be.
Oh, I got it. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. I like this one because, I could give you a hint, but I won't. Anyway, let's see if you know it.
There's the name of it that everybody calls it, and then there's the real one, which I don't think anybody really knows what the real name of it is. But I'm gonna guess that it's 1001101. But it could also be 10101010. It could also, well, it could be any combination. All those.
It could be. The correct, well, let's find out here. Let's see.
But they also call it the binary episode.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You're a winner.
You're correct. Most people say the one with the binars, but the number, the absolute correct version of the binary code is 11001001. However, I've already found three places online where they are supposed to be knowledgeable wikis about the episode, and they all have different sequences of those numbers.
Call it something else.
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, geez.
So, congratulations. The binars modify the holodeck for Commander Riker. They create a jazz club, and Minuet is one of the characters in the simulation. Picard goes to the holodeck too. Minuet keeps them busy with the while the binars hijack the Enterprise. The whole episode, or excuse me, the whole situation could have been avoided if the binars just asked for help. Michael Gaines agrees, he says.
Yeah. Right.
There's your episode. There's your answer, and you got it correct.
Obviously dumber than the Packlets.
Indeed. You got it kicked off to a good start there, Daryl. Tomorrow, you'll get another. No, yesterday was our first show. It just feels weird because Brian wasn't there, and it feels like an extra episode or something. But
I guess
you're 2 for 2 so far this week. That's good. We'll be back tomorrow to try yet again. Daryl is the Trek Nerd on Twitter and one of the hosts of This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com, as well as the Grumpy Cast. Daryl, will you now share with us a game of your own liking?
Okay, Star Trek background character or actual cat breed?
Cat. We're back to the cat breeds. So I want to give you a theme here. Here you go. All right.
What the hell was that?
I don't even know. Some random film sack thing we did forever ago.
Great.
All right, go for it.
Toyger,
Brian. Toyger.
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 It's a Toyger. It's an actual cat breed. It's a Toyger.
Can we go to the zoo and see the Toygers?
Now, see, here we go. I could actually see that being a real cat breed because maybe it looks like a tiger, but it's smaller, so they call it a toyger, like a toy poodle.
Mm.
Or could be a Star Trek
character. I think that's
Ensign Toyger.
Ensign Toyger, come to the bridge. You're a bastard, Ensign Toyger.
I could see it being both ways.
But I feel really strong about cat as well. For some reason.
I'm leaning towards cat.
This is one of those where I feel like we're going, he knows we'd say that, so he's doing it the other way, but
Troyger.
He knows. Yeah, Troyger. Oh, Troyger.
My body.
All right, Daryl, lay it on us. Is it Tiger?
Oh, so you agree with Brian.
My body.
Yeah, my body.
Okay, well, good for you, because he's exactly right, and that's why it's called that.
Oh.
Really? Nobody
so it looks like a miniature him. Tiger.
That's right. That's exciting. We did it, Daryl, or Brian and Daryl. I guess, Daryl, we can tell you we did it because you lost by... All right, there he goes. He's out. He's gone. It's time for the news.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news, and it's brought to you by...
Rude TSA agents.
Okay, so we get to the Salt Lake. It's the day we leave, Thursday, right?
Uh-huh.
And we get there... And normally my TSA experiences, honestly, are pretty good. People are all right. I've never been pulled aside for anything crazy, although I had a Tic Tac in my pocket. A single Tic Tac. I don't even know when it was put there.
A Tic Tac.
And it found it in the scanner, and the guy had to pull me to the side and pat me down for a Tic Tac.
Oh, my God. But that's awesome.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. But that didn't bother me because they were all very friendly and fine. And I'm like, if I've got some weird cyanide pill in there, you know, they need to know. I get it.
Why would they care if you're going to, you know... Take a cyanide pill on the flight.
Sure. But this guy...
Well, I guess if you're going to draw, you're going to drop it in somebody else's coffee.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Okay. Or spread it around
Never mind. You're right.
Or just grab a stewardess and shove it in her face or who knows. So I get there and everything's fine so far. And we get up to the thing where you're about to grab the trays. And there's a couple of people a little bit slow getting their shoes off and doing their thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the TSA guys walks by and he yells without any kind of warning, without any kind of, all right, folks, here's what I would have said. All right, folks, quick as you can, let's keep this line moving. We want to make sure to get you all on your flights early and let's keep you going. Let's keep, you know, that's how I would keep people moving. This guy's choice was to walk up and go,
"All right, you put your stuff in the box and you move. You must keep moving or no way we are going to be done here." And he had that accent. "We are going to be here all day. You are being too slow. Put your shit in box and push it. Push it through the hole."
Like that.
And he's a TSA agent?
Yes.
This is like just some angry traveler.
Nope. Nope. He was a TSA guy. And I was like, wow. Really, dude? Do you have to be this way?
"It doesn't matter. Everyone behind you is running late. So are you. You slow piece of rotting shit."
He didn't say that, but he may as well have. And I was irritated because up till then, everybody was really nice. In fact, on the way back again, everyone's like, "Ah, I love your t-shirt. You're here for the BlizzCon. Ah, I love that stuff. Wish I could go one year." Like, friendly, nice. It's fine. Yeah. You know, there's no reason for Mr. Shove Everybody Through the Hole accent man. All right, Brian, let's get to the news here. Got some news for you.
All right.
There's a danger. You got to quit eating those laundry detergent pods.
Oh, but they look like candy.
I've told you before, though. I knew there would be a problem with them. Well, it turns out I've been vindicated, and you need to stop eating them. Most people find using laundry detergent pod packets to be very convenient instead of using liquid detergent, something that has been around for years. Now, a study shows these pods can be dangerous, especially if they get into the hands or mouths of young children.
Mm.
Or Brian Ibbett.
Right.
In a new study from the Nationwide Children's Hospital of Columbus, Ohio. Researchers
Columbus.
I see. Researchers found over 17,000 children younger than 6 years old either swallowed, inhaled, or suffered skin or eye injuries every hour from the products in between 2012 and 2013. So every hour in this country, 17,000 kids did that.
Suffering some sort of problem from a detergent packet.
And it says, while most of these incidents did not amount to serious complications, ingesting these chemicals, which are highly concentrated, more concentrated than the liquid detergent, could be deadly. Pediatricians are warning parents to make sure you keep the pods out of the reach of the children. Keep the pods out of the... Who will think of the children and the pods? you're supposed to call poison control immediately. Anyway, these are a big deal, so be careful there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's scary. And it's really... The laundry ones are one thing because most people who have a laundry room, who have a washing machine, dryer, have like a shelf above it where they keep these things, which is out of the reach of kids. But the ones that they do for dishwashing liquid, usually you're keeping under the sink right next to the dishwasher. And those are the same thing. They're like a brightly colored. They look like a little, like a gel goo, bubblegum goo, like that bright red or pink stuff that they have for kids.
Raj Gel Goo is my favorite.
Rajal Goo.
He's my favorite Batman villain.
But he looks so tasty.
He does, doesn't he? But then he'd be really chemically bad and you'd have to call poison.
Do not put Rajal Goo in your mouth. Dangerous.
He's got a very special set of skills. Pizza Hut. Okay, here's the Borderlands connection. You can finally rest easy. I'm going to tell you here.
Ready, hit me.
Pizza Hut unveils a new menu with more than 2 billion possible combinations. Now, where that comparison comes from is that Borderlands used to tout that there would be billions of guns in the game because the combinations were random.
Because you can apply a different, I'm going to put this sight on this gun.
Yeah, and it would do it randomly so that there were so many combinations you would literally have billions of potential combinations and no player would ever have the same gun twice. Well, now you can do that with your pizza. Thank goodness. And yes, Wingdamus, I have seen the Taken 3 trailer and I'm very excited about it.
Wind Magus.
Anyway, I'm excited. I love the Taken movies. I'm an unabashed fan of that stuff.
Not again. Oh. Someone's been taken in my family.
They've taken my family again. And now they're going to take them.
Anyway, and Leslie Bibb's in that, or the other one, is it? Which one is it?
Maggie Grace,
thank you. That's the difference.
She was taken. They replaced her with Leslie Bibb, and no one noticed.
Now, I want you to hide under the bed. So now, they're going to swap you with Leslie Bibb.
It's the movie's called Replaced, and it was, and instead of an A, it's a number 4.
Nice.
They're going to replace you with that lady from Lost.
Got a special set of blondes that we can pick from.
One was on Iron Man, the other one was on Lost. See if you can tell the difference.
Pizza Hut
Oh, Pizza Hut. Yeah.
Pizza, yeah. So they got the 2 billion combinations. It's a big day for Pizza Hut. The chain announced new menu items, including 10 crust flavors, 5 new ingredients, 4 drizzles, and a skinny pizza and new skinny pizzas. 11 new branded pizzas, all new boxes and uniforms, plus a new logo. That's a lot of new. They're reinventing themselves, basically.
Yes, exactly.
It all makes for more than 2 billion possible flavor combinations on their new and improved menu that will be rolling into stores nationwide on the 19th. This article, or the people who wrote this article at abcnews.com, said they tried at least 15 of them today, making this evening's activity definitely the gym. The most exciting addition of note are the drizzles and the crust flavors. The drizzles are free sauces that the chain will add to any pizza in balsamic, barbecue, buffalo, and honey sriracha flavors. You know, maybe this, maybe that's a pizza sriracha. I can eat again. What did I say? Sriracha?
Sriracha.
Oh, sriracha. Thank you. You know what I mean? I'm not a big pizza guy, but I think maybe time to check it out again. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the article, yeah. There's Buffalo State of Mind, which looks like it's got buffalo chicken or buffalo sauce and chicken and pepperoncinis. Another one, mm-hmm. Cherry pepper bombshell pizza. I would recommend you stay away from that.
Yeah.
But this whole drizzle thing, I'm not liking this drizzle thing. No. I'm not liking the term drizzle.
Yeah, drizzle seems. That sounds like an incontinent.
Finally,
old man.
Pizza places yeah. are admitting that the employees are putting drizzle on pizza.
Exactly.
I'm paying for it.
We may as well call it leakage.
Right, or something. Exactly. Drizzle.
So I'm unsure how I feel about that too. I mean, let's see how if I can see them do it, maybe I feel better about it. You know, how mm-hmm. at a Subway, at least you can, if something bad goes down, you at least witnessed it, you know?
Right.
I want
right.
to see it happen.
Yeah, no, this is hidden.
Yeah.
Well, look at your taco situation.
Yeah.
It was a drizzle on your taco.
Oh, I think there was dude drizzle on there.
So I'm looking at, some of these look good. So the sweet sriracha dynamite is topped with their honey sriracha sauce,
yeah.
grilled chicken, sliced jalapeno peppers, sweet pineapple,
yeah.
Peruvian cherry peppers, and drizzled with more of that honey sriracha sauce, all with a honey sriracha sriracha crust edge.
Yeah, that looks pretty good.
Does look pretty good.
This even this, let's see, photos of Pizza Hut. Twisted sweet sriracha dynamite. That's the one with all the jalapenos on there. And that looks like a thin crust, and I am all mm-hmm. in on that.
So this starts November 19th, so line up, people.
All right, I'm in. Hey, maybe Pizza Hut is back, baby. Who knows?
Maybe.
Who knows? I'll tell you who's back and never left.
Who's back?
HelloFresh.com.
They don't have to rebrand themselves because they've always been so damn good.
That's right. And if they've got drizzle for your food, it'll come to your door fresh. You put it on yourself. That way you don't have some yakko guy from high school pouring drizzle on your pizza. Mm-hmm.
Drizzle my nizzle.
Drizzle on my pizzizzle. Is that how he'd say it?
That's right. Yes.
All right.
If they don't get Snoop Dogg to help him with this, like the marketing for this rebranding, like he comes out and says, I'm gonna put some drizzle on my pizza.
On my penizzle. I wish I could do that. I can't do it. Anyway, HelloFresh.com's got great food for you and making cooking fun again. Every week, their chefs create great recipes. You decide what you like, and they're gonna send straight to you, fresh to your door, those farm fresh ingredients. And everything you need to make that meal in 30 minutes or less. Visit HelloFresh.com and see if they deliver to you. If you're in the US, they do now. If you go for the first time, and I know you've been sitting on the fence, you've been listening to us talk about it, and you're like, I don't know if I should do this. Well, damn it. I'll give you 50% off. How about that? Half off for your first time order. Use the code MORNINGSTREAM, all one word, MORNINGSTREAM at HelloFresh.com. Go do it today. Eat well. Be well.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by...
By that moment, you find out the BlizzCon TV lady listens to your WoW show.
Kind of freaked me out.
It's kind of funny, Cat Hunter introducing, like she should have said, this is the new me.
Kind of, yeah. In fact, when we were talking to Cat, I said, oh, we missed hearing you this year. She goes, yeah, but Michelle was really great. And then immediately I saw Michelle in the bar and I said, oh, there she is. She goes, oh, you should meet her. I said, oh, no, I don't want to. I'm fine. I don't need to bother anybody. I'm just a schmo. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that she... you know, listen to the show or anything. She's a lovely young lady. She's in, she acts, she's in movies and TV stuff. And
oh, really?
She's like kind of a big shot. Yeah. She was very nice.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Everybody was nice. They were all super nice.
They really are. Yeah.
It was one of those years where I was kind of freaked out by finding about all the Blizzard people that give a crap about the show. Like, that's just, that always surprises me. They're PDP.
You guys do them right. You know, I mean, you do the interviews, you take a very fair side that's not all fanboyish, but it's also not.
We're not trying to be dicks or kick up dirt.
Right, exactly. You know that there are real people who work on those games, and you guys respect the fact that these are people, you know, these are people who are doing and creating the things that they love.
Yeah.
And you guys love it too. And hearing that in the instance, it's been a while since I've heard an instance.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while since I've listened to any podcast.
Anything at all other than Make Them. I feel your pain, dude.
I know you do. Yeah, I know.
I'm having that same problem lately, but yeah.
But getting to listen to that live instance that you guys recorded, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I forgot how much I love this show. And the fact that you've got that new guy joining you. That
smelly French cheese-eating, wine-tasting bastard.
That scarf with a guy attached to it.
This guy with a guy tumor on it.
That's right.
Patrick is going to be, it's so good because it was supposed to happen years ago. It was going to happen 5 years ago. And right before he was to join the show, that deal came through with Blizzard and he couldn't do it. So to have him back is going to be great. He's going to be a great voice on there. But yeah, it's nice to have earned, without really knowing it, to have earned that trust. And maybe it's because we don't know it, that's partly why we earn the trust, because, you know, we're not trying to force anything or manipulate him. Mm-hmm. We just are who we are. And that just happens to be an attractive thing for them. Anyway, this is all so very nice. Everybody was great. And all I want, here's the best thing. You go talk to Mumper, a.k.a. Corey Stockton, talk to him at the mixer, and he just wanted to talk with me about Nintendo the whole time, which was great. Like, just sit and talk about 3DS really games, cool. He's so into it. And
what a funny, here we are, you're at a BlizzCon convention. They've announced games and expansions and all this stuff. Yeah. And they want to talk to you about 3DS.
I think that's
awesome.
Part of it is, even in Chris's case, all he wanted to talk about was superheroes and comics and... Like, they don't, they're, in some ways, I think that's why Kurt Schilling used to like to hang around us, because we didn't want to bug him about baseball constantly. We got to talk about the things he was into that weren't baseball related. I think in a way that's kind of what they wish they had more of, instead of like Terpster says, Mr. Manson, I was wondering, you know, like that. They don't want any more of that.
Right.
Or they want less of that.
By the way, Tristan actually gave one of his pins to Mumper, to Corey Stockton.
Oh, it's amazing.
Randy was looking for a specific pin and he had like almost the whole set.
Yeah.
He's like, well, did I ever tell you about the time that I was collecting pins for Corey Stockton? And Tristan said, and so Randy's saying, yeah, the only ones I'm missing are such and such. The Randy smooth jazz voice.
You can't help but do it.
I can't help but do it.
Yeah.
But, Tristan says, oh, I have two of those. I'll trade. And so Corey Stockton got one of Tristan's pins.
That's amazing. Corey's a really cool guy.
Yeah.
That's a great place for his pin to go.
That is, exactly.
I hope he didn't stick it on him real hard in his flesh.
Sorry, this doesn't have a back to it.
Yeah.
Oh!
Nintendo. All right. Let's see here. We got some news. How about this one? Evil Dead is becoming a TV series. Here are the specifics. This is exciting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I hope. I don't know.
Yeah, I hope.
Bruce Campbell. Campbell.
I'm firmly in Camp Bell.
I'm in Camp Bell, yeah. Will be reprising his role. Oh, he should make a movie called Camp Bell, two words. And he should be the camp director of like a crazy kids camp.
That actually would be pretty good. I'd totally watch that.
Look, if you're going to make a movie called They Call Me Bruce or whatever. Was that what it was? They Call Me?
Yeah, They Call Me Bruce. Yeah. They Call Me Bruce was the...
It was the Bruce Lee
It was the martial arts one, but it wasn't... It was some guy who looked like Bruce Lee.
And everyone
it was an 80s
was,
movie. Yeah,
yeah, everyone called Bruce called Lee. Him Bruce Lee. Thought it was basically Life of
a
Brian.
A man named Bruce? Is that what it was?
Yeah, a man called Bruce.
A man called Bruce?
I think that was it. Well, he'll be reprising his role as Ash, the stock boy, aging Lothario, and chainsaw-handed monster hunter who spent the last 30 years avoiding responsibility, maturity, and the terrors of the evil dead when the deadite plague threatens to destroy all of mankind. And he's in it. He's in the show. So it's not just a young guy who will play Ash. No, no.
Exactly. We're going to play.
He'll have I'm assuming he'll have a team of young upstarts who will help fight evil.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're probably right. It's going to be like a Army of Darkness, the next generation.
Basically, yeah. He'll be just the grandpa, help everybody around. I mean, I think that can kind of work. I'm a big fan of Batman Beyond, that cartoon. mm-hmm. where Bruce Wayne is super old and just sits in his little cave and directs the young kid around what to do.
Sure.
I'm fine with that. If you do it right, it's fine. But I'm excited. It's coming to Stars, by the way. Stars is getting it.
Oh, interesting.
So lots
of... You haven't heard a lot about them recently, right? I mean, you hear about Netflix and Hulu and all these original series on that and Amazon, but they've kind of fallen by the wayside as far as...
Well, they keep trying. I mean, Spartacus mm-hmm. has a following, but it never reached... It feels more trashy than good.
And yes, people, I know Stars is an actual cable channel and not an online service, but...
we're aware.
But, you know.
Yeah, we're aware. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like Spartacus is just, it's kind of trashy, but people mm-hmm. like it, but it's trashy. I mean, just admit it. It's just trashy. It's not very good.
And Merlin.
Yeah. Is Merlin there?
Merlin? Which
one?
Oh,
no, you're thinking of Camelot.
Camelot, right.
Which was also okay, but not great.
Mm-hmm.
And in the shadow of something like Game of Thrones.
Right.
It had no chance, that thing.
Ava Green sure liked to get naked in it, though, apparently.
She sure did. Yeah.
That was basically the premise of Camelot. It's at what point during this episode is Ava Green going to walk around topless?
And I remember asking, hey, I wonder if that show's still on, and then finding out she was in that new Penny Dreadful and went, oh, well, then clearly she's not doing that anymore.
Right.
That show got canceled. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, or JGL, as people like to call him.
I've never heard anybody call him that.
I've seen that on Twitter a few times, and I don't like it. Okay. Not a fan.
Like the NPH?
Yep, don't like it.
Yeah. Leave it to JCVD. That's the one that's allowed.
Yeah, that one's all right. It needs to be fun to say for it to work.
Right.
JGL is not fun to say.
JGL is not fun to say.
That sounds like a stat in your doctor visit. Your JGL levels or JGL levels are a little low, sir. You need to quit smoking those cigarettes.
Plus three to my
cigarette. JGL. Yeah, that does sound like a game thing, too. I need to max my JGL. It's like hit. Oh, dude, as of Thursday, well, I guess it's true now of the patch, but no more hit. Dude, that game's coming out on Thursday. You're going to be traveling.
Yeah, I'm taking my gaming mouse with me.
All right, we're going to play then.
I may be playing in the background, in the back of the training room. I'll go ahead and sit back here for this conference. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. You're the best.
Yeah.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt will play Edward Snowden in the Oliver Stone film based on the life and times of Edward Snowden and the NSA leaks and all that stuff. Los Angeles actor Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That's a dumb way to... Oh, I
Los
see.
Los Angeles actor.
There it is. Los Angeles colon actor. Anyway, he'll play Edward Snowden in a movie directed by Oliver Stone. Stone loves this kind of stuff.
Los Angeles director Oliver Stone?
Yeah, he's a Los Angeles director Oliver Stone. OS, they call him. OS.
OS, yeah. Sure.
About the former National Security Agency contractor who blew the whistle on the U.S. government's massive surveillance programs, the film's backers said on Monday. Stone, who won Best Director's Oscars for Platoon and Born on the 4th of July, which I never saw that one. I saw the first one, not that second one. I love JFK, though. I know JFK is full of all kinds of conspiracy hokum, but mm-hmm. man, I love JFK. That is a great movie. Great performances by everybody. The world is in it. Everyone is in that thing. Like, you'll see John Candy in a role you've never seen John Candy in before.
Oh, if you God. See JFK. Yeah, no kidding. I forgot about him.
Such a great movie. Oh, my gosh. I freaking love it. Anyway.
Kevin Costner's and
I
great in that, too.
Love Costner. You know my Costner. I just love
him. I know. You and your Costner.
Me and my Costner. Me, my Costner, and my Johnson. That's how the song goes. He's written a screenplay based on two books, The Snowden Files, The Inside Story of the World's Most Wanted Man by Luke Harding, and Time of the Octopus by Anatoly Kurkachikarina. Kucharina.
No, I like Kurkachikarina.
Kurkachikarina. The still untitled film goes into production in Munich in January, and independent studio Open Road Films and production by who cares. Producer Moritz Bormann said in a statement that he and Stone chose Open Road and because of, okay, who cares about that? All right, so there you go. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Edward Snowden, we're in. Let's do this. Let's get it on. Never did see that Juan John, was it? What was it called?
Oh, Don John.
Yeah, Don John.
That was really good. Julianne Moore was really, really good in it. She's well appreciated, so you can't really call her underappreciated.
Yeah.
But she is so damn talented and seems like she would just be so fun to hang around with.
Yeah, I like her. I think she's great. And I'm, you know, I like the Scarlett Johansson,
mm-hmm.
except when she says certain things.
like,
hold on.
I'm bringing the party to you.
Close.
It's, no, I'm starting.
Oh, you're going to say, okay, wait. Okay. We're going to do this proper. Okay. So
I'm setting you.
Hold on. Okay.
Why are you clearing your throat?
Because I want to set the scene. So we've got a big, snaky looking alien thing chasing Iron Man, and you're going to play the part of Tony Stark. Go.
Hey guys, I'm bringing the party to you.
I don't see how that's a party.
And scene. Well, that's just as shitty now as it was when I saw it last. Tweaked Audio sponsoring today's show, tweakedaudio.com. Go there. Get their great styles and colors and stuff. It's all designed to sound great no matter what you're putting in your ear holes. If you're listening to our show or some other podcast, great. It'll sound better there. So many people came up to us at the con and said, I love your show. It's all I listen to. You're in my ears all the time. It's so weird hearing your voice here live. And I'd say, well, that's because you're listening to us on sweet Tweaked Audio earbuds, and it sounds amazing. Compatibility is job one, noise reduction, durability, lifetime warranty. It's all there, part of the package. You stream it, check out for 33% off. That's a third off the price at tweakedaudio.com. We're going to now take a break. When we come back, it will be jury duty. We have no fitness geek today. He's flying today, so we won't have him, but we'll have jury. We'll have, we'll have jury for as long as we have jury. All right. There's nothing you can do about it. We're going to force him on you. We're going to heap him on you as if he was the plague himself. but you're going to have music for us before him. What is that?
All right. So I've got this one that came in from Katie or Katrina in the chat room. Mm. Hey, Scoot and Brian, the anniversary of my 29th birthday is approaching. November 11th is not only when the world celebrates my birth, shocking, I know, it's also a day that we in the U.S. take a moment and honor our veterans. I'd love to hear Doris Day herself. If not, a cover of one of her songs would work too. Maybe something from her USO days, i.e. Sentimental Journey, to also include a nod to our veterans. Loof of the show, though, Katie, a.k.a. Katrina, in the chat room. P.S. Doris Day turned 90 this year and still looks lovely.
Oh, wow. I didn't know she... I didn't know she was still here.
I would have guessed that she had left us as well, yeah.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, all right. So happy Veterans Day, everybody, and happy birthday to Katie. How about a cover of a Doris Day song? This is so much fun, and I'm a big fan of this artist. Carlos Esquivel is the musician. He's the epitome of kitschy lounge music. Like, when you think of lounge... the sound of lounge, Esquivel is right up there. It should be the guy you're thinking of. And especially if you are a fan of the film Four Rooms, like I know Scott is.
Yeah, I love Four Rooms.
Well, I know you love the music, right? I hope you like the
music. I like the music, and I really like one of the segments, but
yes,
the rest of it.
Well,
sucks.
And you're going to like the fact that this music comes from that segment. This is Esquivel and his cover of Sentimental Journey. You can find it on his album Cabaret Mañana. And I really, if you like this, pick up the whole album because it sounds all of it sounds just like this, and it's fantastic. Esquivel and Sentimental Journey.
Thank you. When we put this thing to bed, you can brand the Fourth Amendment on my butt.
Tuesday, a night at the ballet gives Tony a dose of culture.
Hey, watch out, Baryshnikov, here comes Basilikov.
It's dance class détente.
What in Moscow?
With a Russian accent.
I even kissed him on both cheeks.
Ooh. Who's the boss? Then. How do you improve the perfect family?
Can you give me one real reason why we shouldn't have another child?
Wait here.
All it takes is a little love and, of course, growing pain.
Tuesday.
The best tasting pound of Frankfurters money can buy. This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back. You know, I'm a big fan of big band, so that was right up my alley.
Bring it on. By the way, I'm a big fan of those little ABC coming up tonight on the Love Boat.
That's right. And then Tony thinks he found a bit. It's like that guy used to describe the plot.
Yes, of every ABC show, man. That voice, that specific guy, that voice.
Super dumb, but great at the same time. Mm-hmm. Oh, we were such sheep back in the day, it feels like sometimes.
We were.
All right. Time for jury.
Yes. Does he know that he's
early? Yes.
Coming on a little early?
Yes, he does.
Okay, good.
I horned him and he says he's all set.
You horned him?
I horned him. I even have his theme, which is this one right here. Oh, no, wait. We better make sure he connects first. Okay, here we go.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. One, Justin Robert Young.
Hi.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Jury's
going. Is it good?
Yeah, you sound all right. You're a little quiet.
It was a little crusty there for a second.
Yeah, it's probably just video. You're all right. Are you in a hotel? Oh, you are in a hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hell yeah, I'm in a hotel.
Where'd you go,
like,
man?
Like a fox.
Where are you? Where'd you end up? What's going on?
South of L.A., I think.
Mm.
I know I had to fly through LAX.
Mm. Nowhere near, well, that's funny, because we were all just there. It's too bad we didn't cross paths.
Yes. What, what's the city? Or do you not want to say?
I don't know. It's like all the whatever. There should be a California city name generator, and it's all just mix up Rancho Santo, Terra
San.
You know,
Rancho Santo is a great city name in California.
Yeah. Oh no, I have. Oh, my parents have a nice summer house in Rancho Santo Dingo Bingo. Beep, 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 lop, doop, dee, dee.
And I presume you're there for a go game and doing that whole
thing.
Yeah,
we got a big thing here today. And all right. I can't talk about it on the air because this company is fairly famously secretive.
Oh, all right. Are they the one you're doing the game go or the go game for?
Yeah, the people that we're doing it for. But I'll tell you off air. There was a cool moment. I'll text you about it.
Ooh,
which is like the worst radio ever. Hey, let's get off to an awesome start. Since
that's
I'm
right.
The only guest here today.
Rancho Santos. Scott's gonna get to hear about a thing on a text none of you will know about. Yay! Well, it's good to have you on, man, and always good to chat. I know it feels like it's been longer than it's been. Why do I feel that way? It's only been a week. I think BlizzCon just made everything seem like a bit of a.
Totally, yeah,
a bit
exactly.
of a blur.
Man, I don't play any Blizzard games, and to be totally honest, I have fairly little interest in it. However, I was never more annoyed that I couldn't be at a conference for which I had no interest in the programming than BlizzCon last weekend.
Yeah, it's funny because it's very much that same, you know, or at least a huge portion of that same kind of core group are all sort of a part of, and we're all there and there's that shared experience and everything. And there were a couple of moments where I was like, you know, all this room needs right now is jury or, you know, mm-hmm. somebody else. Like Veronica should be here. She was there last time or I guess 2 years ago. But yeah, it definitely felt like another one of those points of light for all these people.
I feel like we've kind of turned the barrels now, and now we are. I'm out of the like, oh, I have to plan for this year's things, and now all this year's things are over, and I'm really excited about next year's things.
Yeah, I am getting to that point where, well, I'm literally getting to the point where I got to lock down the final dates and details and deposits and all that stuff for Nerdtacular.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? Can you make major announcements before they're ready
I can, now on the show? I can tell people this one bit. I can say that the plan right now is for the end of July, not the 4th, which will make a lot of people happy. We're working out rates and stuff so that we can try not to... Because the reason the 4th was so attractive was a lot of stuff was cheaper because of it. Not, I don't mean for us. Like, for us, it's the same. But for people, the room nights are cheaper, things like that. So we're what we're trying to do is retain as much of that as we can and still get the later date. We feel like we've built enough sort of equity with these folks that we could do that. So that's kind of the preliminary thing. There's nothing in stone other than that we are busily working away on locking it in. So that's currently the plan right now. For me, I mean, next year for me, it's DragonCon, BlizzCon, and this and that and Nerdtacular. Those are kind of my three focuses, assuming there's a BlizzCon. I actually have a theory there may not be one this year. They have these years where they skip because of lack of stuff to announce. Or
they did, yeah. They spilled a lot of candy in the lobby this time around, so who knows if there's...
Good way to put that.
Yeah.
And some of the biggest pieces of candy are now known factors that all you could do next year is just say, yep, still working on those. You know,
it's going to be out of beta. That's our big announcement is Overwatch will be out of beta.
Geek is great. Part two, you know. So
Thank you for your $150. Here, have some swag.
But they don't need to have gigantic announcements.
No, not necessarily.
BlizzCon seems to be just as much of a gathering of people who really, really like this kind of stuff. And they do the big tournaments and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like it could be a gigantic event that everybody would be really excited for if they didn't announce, you know. And also, World of Warcraft is now going to feature a dog named Spot.
Wow, that would be a hell of an announcement. But you're right. They could do all of it without it. I also think, though, one of the factors that went into them skipping 06 and 2012 was the release schedule for that year. And between now and then, enormous things get released and get worked on. So the fact that they sub none of this out. Like, this is all self-run, this entire event. Their own people, their own hires, their own everything. And so whenever there seems to be a ton of actual output from the company, like big releases for the year, like in 2012, where they had a ton of stuff come out that year, they tend to not do it on those years. And this is, again, another one of those years where stuff is like coming out like crazy. So some of it we don't know for sure yet. And so there's a lot up in the air. But I got this. A lot of people were saying this over the weekend, and I hope it's not true because I love the event and I want to go again. But it's there's this possibility. But it was cool. And you would have totally fit in, dude. Games are not. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I bet we would have hooked you on a couple of these things. Like, there's a few of those. Like the Hearthstone tournament, that is riveting shit.
It is. It's amazing how you wouldn't think watching two people playing a card game against each other would be as exciting as it is, but it is.
It's amazing. It's like watching, what's it like? Bobby Fischer level chess or something.
Right.
Better than that, though, because it's flashy and fun and not slow.
I was talking about this with Dan Dirks, who is a friend of the show and does the movie draft for us and also created Strawpoll, which is like a gigantic utility.
I love that thing.
The numbers on Strawpoll, by the way, like insanity.
Yeah,
like,
and it's all viral. He never really went out there and pushed it. It's just people start, oh, this exists? Sweet. I can just do a quick poll? No way.
Yeah, no, and it's all like Twitch chats and everything. It's insane. Anyhow, great. We were talking about how much Wizards of the Coast and what is it, Hasbro that owns them now, should really be ashamed. They should be publicly walk through the streets of Seattle and had rotten food thrown at them for how much Hearthstone completely ate their lunch.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
like, it's crazy that Magic, the Gathering, is not as gigantic. All they had to do was make a playable online version of that game that wasn't complete trash.
Yeah, I mean, they have them. They exist, and they had them before Hearthstone. It's just that they were never... Blizzard has this way of knowing what how to keep it simple, stupid. You know what I mean? Also, yeah. But also keeping it complicated on the back end so that it's easy to get into, hard to master. That's the key, because those Magic games that are on PCs and tablets and stuff, they're fine and they're hardcore for those players and stuff. But there's nothing inviting about them. There's nothing about them that says, get right in and test your mettle. It just makes you feel like, ugh, there's another form of Magic that I'm terrified of because that's an intimidating world over there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that just shows that, like, they, you know, the leadership at Wizards of the Coast doesn't look at the possibility that you could introduce Magic to a new audience. Yeah. Where I think Blizzard, especially considering what they did in terms of abandoning that one, the Project Titan that mm-hmm. they had, you know, like, so publicly pinned all, you know, it was like, well, we'll take a look at Project Titan. Project Titan's going to be a major thing. We're looking at the next big evolution from Blizzard, Project Titan. And they said, you want to know what? We're not going to do this. Yeah. This is not a thing.
Well, they're willing to see that, you know, if this isn't going to be what it needs to be, then we don't. I mean, it is truly a hallmark of that company. It's been that way from the beginning. And people are always like, well, easy to do for a company made of money now. Well, what got them here is this thinking. And they did this to big projects back before WoW was a thing. When they canceled StarCraft Ghost, that was an enormous financial loss. When they did it with Warcraft Adventures, even more so, because the company was smaller and tighter, and still a giant project completely trashed and thrown away because it wasn't fun enough in their minds. So that's such a rare thing, and I understand why it's so hard for companies to do that. But because they've embraced that as part of their culture, it's why they own the space they play in, because they're willing to do it, you know?
Just understand opportunity costs, and I'm sure that they know it better than everybody, you know, that's talking here, that, like, if they had, let's say that Project Titan was something that they were going to have to at least tease at this BlizzCon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That if it was mature enough that it was time to start giving people a peek at what it is.
Yeah.
If they do that, then whatever they have in Overwatch, either they delay further or they also tease and take a look at. And Overwatch, I don't feel like gets the same spotlight. And now it looks like that's going to be an out-of-the-box hit for them.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. I played it. It's a freaking blast. It's just an enormous good... Brian, you ended up playing it, right?
I did twice. So
same.
Fun.
It's so good. Oh, my gosh. And it's just, again... And it feels finished. It's totally done and by all other game company standards. But by theirs, they need more time, right? They got to polish whatever. But that thing felt finished to me, as usual. But they just are so weird that way. And they're willing to make those hard choices. In Hearthstone's case, even they were unsure internally. Like, I got all kinds of info, insider info over the weekend from various people. One of them was Corey Stockton, who's on the WoW team. But he said... He goes, you know what Hearthstone is? I said, what? He goes, Hearthstone is the little game that could. And I said,
yeah.
What do you mean? He goes, even internally, we just weren't sure. Everybody was like, it's really fun. We know we like it. But is anyone going to play a Blizzard game that isn't a gigantic, huge, you know, multi-leveled 300-team thing anymore? Like, there was a lot of concern about that. And then it just got away from them in such a big way that they're all just sort of still blinded by the fact that it's hitting so hard. And that's, I think that's just the key over there, is just make stuff until they're fun, and then the whole world will eat it like it's cake. And that's how they do it. And it's so much fun to see that work and see the inner workings of it and the way their minds work and how intensely focused and how interested they are in the actual work. And, you know, everyone thinks that whole Metzen thing where he seems so passionate about the content and the writing and the stories and all of that. They think it's an act. They think he's just sort of put up there because he kind of looks cool or whatever. But I can tell you, having spent real time with them, that is that guy. Like, he is so fiercely intense about the stuff they make that there's no doubt that whatever they put out is going to have at least that attention, whether it's your thing or not, or whether it's your favorite game or not. It doesn't matter. The end result is going to be just the blood, sweat, tears, passion, and whatever that weird 20-year culture is that they've got going there, it's all going to be in there. And it was all on display this weekend.
Well, I think also it's you know, when I did a Go game once for Blizzard, and I was there when they were talking to their employees afterward after I did the judging thing, and they look at themselves like Disney, you know, mm-hmm. that they are creating the stuff that will stand the test of time and stands out from the pack because of the quality they put into it. And I think that shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I was going to ask you about that once and I kept forgetting to what that experience was like after you did that run or after you did that game. Cause they're also, you know, intensely secretive, you know, very careful about what they say. We didn't know anything about Overwatch, obviously, going into this thing. Hardly anybody did. There were a lot of theories, and you could take bits and pieces from different theories and trademark registrations and other stuff and kind of start to assemble, you know, what was happening, but only in retrospect. Nobody really had the full measure of what was going on, but plenty of people internally have been playing it. They all knew about it. And even Patrick Beja, who is now, his last week at Blizzard was last week. He's now full-time with The Instance and his own podcasting stuff, and super stoked to have him back on, but he, before the announcement, would not say a word to anybody. We're all throwing theories at him. He's like, just smiling at us.
Yeah.
And then when it was done,
in the way that only a Frenchman can
smile. Only that cheese-eating Frenchman can do. And then when it was over and the announcement was done, and I'm sitting right next to him, just me and him, he could have told me anything and I would have kept his secrets. Still, stony face, smiling at me. And the thing was already out, and he wouldn't even answer questions about how long have you known about it? How long have you been playing it? What did you know about this character? Like, nothing. I don't know what they've done to them. They have pounded it into them. It's the brainwashing thing or something, but none of them speak anything.
It's like everybody wants to make the best product.
Yeah.
And I think that's what matters. And, you know, when I did a thing, there was certainly no information. It was all just a lot of, you know, them kind of just being very proud of themselves and giving their employees a day off and just, you know, reiterating how much they care about their products.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's a lot like, I think some of the best companies are, well, if this is going to lead to a big surprise, mm-hmm. you know, and you want to avoid, I mean, like, so we see this on a very, very small level with like the Go game, because you don't want to tell people scavenger hunt beforehand.
Right.
Because if they know scavenger hunt, then now they think of every crappy scavenger hunt that they've ever gone on,
right?
Or they think of every good scavenger hunt they've ever gone on, and now you have expectations to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can blindside them and say, and you have faith in your product, and you say, all right, this is what we're doing now, and go.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you are avoiding, you're kind of short-circuiting that really troublesome element where you need to make up distance. And instead, you can just let the product stand on its own. And I feel like that's what Blizzard cares about. They care about the fact that, hey, if we can all shut our mouths, then all the hard work that all these people have put into Overwatch will be all the better.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that there's probably a measurable effect of positive articles and buzz that's generated by this to money. And we all want to keep our phony baloney jobs where we make games, right?
Yeah.
So zip it. Loose lips sink ships, Frenchie.
Yeah, I think that's basically it. In a company with 5,000 or 6,000 people, it's near impossible in 2014, I think, in an organization that big with stuff that is, with this information that is such informational currency, to keep it tight-lipped. Like, it's really impressive that they're able to culturally, for the most part, do that. They've had problems sometimes, and, you know, occasionally somebody will get laid, you know, fired for something. A couple years ago that happened, but it is very rare. And I think for a company that big to have that few leaks, I mean, Apple can't do it. Google can't do it. None of these guys can do it. And not that, you know, Blizzard's that big, obviously, but you know, 6,000 people, with all the way down to dude in the mailroom up to top executives, Morheim and, you know, Pardo. Well, not Pardo anymore. He left, but, you know, Morheim and Metzen and those guys, none of them let it fly. But they do get creative with how they talk about things, because Metzen on my show month and a half ago basically described the game. I just didn't realize he was doing it, because he was talking about, it was more of like a personal, hey, what's your inspiration kind of conversation. And he went all deep into, how much he loves heroes and Marvel and what an influence they had then and now and how important Marvel is to him right now in the way he thinks about characters and creating characters. And he's basically talking about a comic book world he just freaking invented for a game called Overwatch. But so they still have this way of being able to talk about it without any of us knowing what the hell they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, but also look at it like this. What if they were a more transparent company when it came to stuff like this? Mm-hmm. And what if they were talking about what they're working on? And a year ago, it would have been this revamped version of that Titan project. And they went way into, well, you know, we got this larger MMO and we want to have it be, you know, a super, like you are, you know, on one level you do menial kind of stuff and the other level you're a superhero and you're doing all this other stuff. And then they scrap it, you know? Now you've built up expectations. I mean, if they know, like you said, information is currency. Mm-hmm. So if they build up even by hinting certain things that aren't just complete veiled references, then they have momentum going for something that they know internally at any moment they can pull the plug on.
Yep.
And they want to be able to pull the plug on it because they only want to release stuff that's amazing. That's going to be blow your socks off.
Regardless of how much money they've sunk into it. I mean, Titan reportedly, they probably have put a good 100 to maybe $200 million into.
I mean like, how long have you been hearing about that? And not only just as like a project they're working on, but like as the future of MMOs, right?
Yeah, it's 7 years. And the funny thing is the most they ever said about it was that, yeah, there's a new project internally called Titan. We don't have anything to say about it yet, but we are working on something new. It is an MMO, and that's all they've ever said. Everyone else has added on the, you know, all the other expectations and all the other stuff. Obviously, their expectation was to build the next generation thing that would be the next big, huge thing. But that's a lot of time, 7 years. I mean, it's a ton of time. I've been doing this show for, it seems crazy, but in January, it'll be 9 years, that show. 7 of those 9 years was working on Titan. That's an enormous expense. Some of their best talent were on it. Jeff Kaplan, that's where he's been for 9 years or 7 years. Now he's on Overwatch, which is great because he's a stud. But all of that man hours, all that talent, time, assets, all that stuff created, you know, they probably had readings for all the acting parts, like all that stuff done and dusted, and then still being willing at the end. I mean, a lot of that stuff can be used again. The technology can be moved over to something else. Oh, we got this cool networking thing. We're going to use that over here or whatever. All that stuff being true, still, the core investment, they're willing to just at the end go, eh, we're good. We don't like it.
Let me ask you this. So we have seen that the Hearthstone, out of the box, huge hit for them.
Yeah.
Overwatch, huge buzz.
Yeah.
Titan, abandoned for now, yeah. for whatever. They might strip it down for parts, and you know, you might see a version of this at some point down the road.
Yeah.
But for right now, not a thing. StarCraft obviously gets announced. It's a big deal.
Yep.
How in 15 years, how much is Blizzard known as the MMO company, the company that makes big MMOs?
Well, I think that this is a really good, see, you'd fit right in at Blizzard. Why aren't you there? You should go to, you should at least go to BlizzCon and hang out with us and be on our show.
This is just my ability to BS about
right,
it.
Right. You're a good BSer. I like it. Blizzard shit is what we like, that BS stands for. Anyway, I would say that they are on track to do something kind of fundamentally revolutionary in the company, and that is separate themselves from, well, I mean, look at it this way. We've got 10 years of WoW, and that 10 years went from 400 or 500 employees at Blizzard to the 5,000-6,000 they have now, and that happened very, very quickly. They had to, you should watch that documentary that's online, not just because I'm in it for a few seconds. Don't let that deter you from the fact that that documentary is really good and gives you a really good view of what it means to go from zero to the biggest thing ever in very short order.
I'm very excited to watch it.
Yeah.
Not only because Blizzard is a fascinating company to me, but also I want to just freeze frame your face in the most awkward shots and then put them on the internet.
All right. Well, I'm down with you there. That's
so
fine.
So nobody do that right now. Go and right to Scott's parts, just where he has his eyes closed and, you know, just in any piece of video.
In a weird way, saying thousand needles.
Yeah.
You can always get those derp shots. Yeah, and I want everybody to do that.
You got four or five chances to get some real good shots there, and then you're off to your own devices. But it's really good, and it just shows you how meteoric the growth and the rise was. and what that does to a company, because it, in a lot of ways, I feel like this is the year we've seen them go, we can stop freaking out about what's, because this happens so quickly. We can take a breath and we can spread around a little bit. We can go, all right, Hearthstone, Heroes of the Storm, focus back on Diablo, get StarCraft back in gear, announce something new like Overwatch, get into new genres and areas we've never played in before. Like, this is the, I finally feel like they're doing that. And every interview I did and everybody I talked to, that feeling permeated the conversation. That they have finally kind of let, that they've quit white knuckling the steering wheel so hard to make sure that WoW was perfect in every way, they can handle the load, that the player base stayed where they were, that the when they naturally fall off, they did all they could to keep as many as they could. Like all that stuff, they could just stop doing that for a second and actually let the creativity flow in other ways. That, I think, is fundamental. And so to answer your question, 5-6 years, they'll still be known as, man, that company that made World of Warcraft the biggest thing ever, but also the one that does these 12 other amazing things, and they will not just be the big MMO company anymore.
Because they have such a great track record for making new and exciting game titles, yep, right? Yep. They've got an amazing, they've got such a great imagination, and you know their sensibility is big. But I'm curious internally how much Hearthstone and the success of it kind of opened up their world a little bit to be like, oh wow, like. They were known as a cutting edge company in the 90s when they went so hard and made such an amazing and immersive MMO experience, and the game world kind of turned to look at the fact that, like, oh wow, people are like paying you every single month to play your game, yeah. And it's so immersive that it's obsessive for the players. Let's all take a look at you. And then all of a sudden they do Hearthstone and it's like, oh wow, this same company just went into this like gigantic wild west of who the hell knows what people want to play on their iPads right now? Everybody's right. Just guessing.
Right.
And knocked it out of the park. And I think for them, that can't help but be proof positive that, oh wow, we can keep innovating. We're not a 90s legacy company that made, you know, like struck it big and has had huge titles, and now we're just maintenancing those titles.
Yeah, that definitely, I think you have the make of it. And I think it's good for them to have that realization. And I feel like Hearthstone is such a weird tipping point for all of it, and one that no one expected. And just a couple of guys at Blizzard just said, dude, we all love playing Magic at night. What if we did this? I mean, that's all that came from.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
To see that be this impetus, or at least it's perceived as such, I'm sure it's more complicated than that, but it's certainly seen that way by players. It's an amazing feat. And they were already revered in the industry long before WoW. Everybody loved Blizzard. Warcraft 1, 2, and 3, plus all the Diablos, plus StarCraft in 98. I mean, these were all enormous hits. They're well-earned, same culture, same dedication, same willingness to let things go and you know, make the best thing possible. It's just that then they became a multi-billion dollar monster and still had to try to retain that. I think it's damn admirable that they did it, that they kept that culture so tight. And when you talk to those guys, you feel like you're talking to the same guys that existed in 1995 and were barely making payroll. You know,
yeah.
It's the same dudes. They just are now in a machine that they've for 10 years, it's just been, I mean, the white knuckle scenario is the only way I can describe it. Just so we got to, you guys, just let's not lose our minds here. Let's just keep it straight. What are we doing?
Look at the difference between the BlizzCon where they announced the Mists of Pandaria versus now. Like that very much for whatever you thought about that, you know, that addition and expansion of WoW was like WoW maintenance, you know, let's do something new for the people that are WoW subscribers.
Well, same as last year. Last year was all about, I mean, Heroes of the Storm was a big deal last year, but last year was all about Warlords of Draenor, which launches Thursday. And, you know, again, every BlizzCon seems to be more about the WoW expansion than anything else. This year felt like way more than that this year. And this year, obviously there's no WoW expansion to announce because it's coming out Thursday, but the everything else got the spotlight, and for it to be able to do that and still, you know, the big documentary and the 10 years of WoW and the 20 years of Warcraft and all of that celebration is still there and thick, and the Warcraft movie trailer teaser we all got to see and all that stuff, that's all there.
How'd that look?
Oh, it was amazing, dude. Oh,
beautiful.
Ugh. Yeah, it's Brian, tell me I'm not wrong here. They're not dicking around. Like, they're making they're making something really... It's hard to explain this without... I don't know how to explain it. It's not just fan service, and it's also not just, well, let's make a Hollywooded up mainstream thing. I feel like they're just making the Warcraft they want to make, and it feels real, real good to me.
This will end up being a thing that people who don't play the game will definitely enjoy. It certainly seems like it. It looks rich. It looks
that really full of... Dude, you see Stormwind in that trailer.
Right. But I mean, for somebody who doesn't know what Stormwind is, I think that they would still come away from this like something I'd like to see.
No matter what, it's a Duncan Jones movie with, I think, the biggest budget he's ever worked with.
Clearly.
As a movie fan, I mean, that's what I'm... I'm not a WoW player, but I like Duncan Jones. I like Source Code. I like Moon. Yeah. Really exciting young director.
Even if you don't like Pi for the movie, but you admire Pi for the effects work.
I like Pi for the dessert.
Yeah. if you like Pi for that movie for its effects work, then you should be excited, because the head of that effects effort is the head of... He's the director of effects in this film. And the final newest bit of sort of polished, finished, rendered out orc stuff that they showed, they're doing it right, dude. Like, it felt right. It felt good. It looked amazing. The way that character was emoting and creating a sense of character in just about 7 seconds of footage, just about made me pee
myself. Hell, if you like story, like, if there's anybody who is listening to my voice that has not watched Moon, stop. This podcast is garbage compared to Moon. Yeah. You should stop this podcast and watch Moon. Your life and your job is garbage.
It's a great point. Compared to Moon, I will say this officially. Compared to Moon, TMS is absolute garbage. It is hot, hot, sweltering garbage. There's no question
about
that. Now
listen, TMS will always be here for you.
Right.
And at some point, you're going to be done with Moon. You're going to want to watch your year listen to TMS again. And that's fine.
Right.
Come on back. We're going to be here for you waiting.
Yeah, that's right. Until the point, at least, where Kevin Spacey's doing a voice on here.
Yeah,
Then we'll have some competition.
Then we'll all bets are off at that point.
Poor Kevin Spacey. I was watching a commercial for Horrible Bosses 2.
Yeah.
And they have this run of the names, where it's like Bateman, Sudeikis, Day, Fox, Aniston. And then they show a shot of Kevin Spacey yelling at them and no name.
What?
No Spacey? Really?
What?
Wow.
How does Kevin Spacey not,
you're top, but he's your top dude.
Yeah, poor Kevin.
He's your top guy. I need to try to crack into the new Call of Duty Modern or Advanced Warfare this week because he is all up in that.
Because of his... Yeah.
All mocap.
Well, it's all like, Call of Duty, House of Cards, right?
Exactly. It has that look like he's playing the same character from House of Cards in it.
Yep. It looks great. I can't wait to check it out. We'll be doing that later this week. Oh, man, Justin, always a pleasure to talk to you wherever you are in Santa Buca von Scenario, California. I don't know where the von came from, a little German in there. But I hope it's a fantastic time for you. Anything up this week that people should be looking for on your side?
Jury show out on, well, it should be out now. I know it's on the YouTube. I don't know if it's out on the podcast feed because I got it out a little late. NSF, Night Attack tonight.
Oh, yeah, that changed names. I forgot and became a new show. Yeah. And it has nothing to do with the other one. Right.
So it's not the other show. Now it's the new show. It's Night Attack. It's going to be a real fun time. And what else? Oh, coming soon. Me and Ashley and I, my fiance, Ashley and I, we are doing a podcast to lead up to the wedding.
Love it.
So it's a fun show that I think everybody will enjoy. If you've liked the Doctor Who podcast, Who's the Boss, that we did, and you enjoyed our banter, well, there is more of that in store. So everybody go ahead and keep an eye out. Just follow me and Ashley on Twitter. I'm Justin R. Young. She's Healthy Addict, and we'll let you know. But the Jury Moore podcast, we recorded the first episode, and it's pretty fun. We do DNA testing. We're just going to make double sure that we're not related.
Wow. That's amazing. That's so cool.
That's awesome.
I've been trying to get my brother and my sister to get DNA tested because we think they're my two adopted Korean siblings. I have three of them, but they're two of the two. And we're pretty sure they are literally siblings.
Really?
Because of where they were both found in proximity to each other. Some weird records that show that the parents had a son and a daughter, same age separation. They look alike. They always have. They've had the same sort of features and stuff. And we've never been able to convince them to do it yet. So I gotta get on that again. Because either way, they're basically raised as brother sister. So who cares? You know, like it's not like the relationship is any different. But I'm still to this day just dying to know if those guys are like blood sister brother or not.
It would be way more awkward if you were doing it with your brother and like his wife.
Yeah, no, that would be
like bothering them. Hey, can you please do this DNA testing? Because I'm pretty sure that you guys are related.
You know what would make it worse is if I was like, because you guys look the same, so I can't tell.
You're right. This whole conversation can go left really quick.
For sure. Justin, always good. Justin R. Young on Twitter, everybody. Follow him there and all that other stuff he mentioned and plenty of other things, I'm sure, coming up. We'll talk to you soon. Stay out of trouble, man.
Oh, yes. Bye.
Bye now. Bye. I love when he has to sit there holding a microphone. It's like he's...
Yes, right. Like he's on... he's the audience guy, Phil Donahue.
Yeah, exactly. Good talk, Justin. Good talk.
Totally, yeah.
Brian, I think that does it for this fine day.
Okay.
All right. So the plan for Thursday is you're going to be in a place where we can record, right?
Yeah, yeah. It'll be TMS AM live from Arvada, TMS PM live from Los Angeles.
Ooh, in the hotel or something? In the
hotel, in the Clip Club.
In the Clip Club, great. Well, good.
An hour earlier for me, so.
Yeah, oh, that's right. It'll be 4:30 for you, 5:30 for me. If you need any kind of other time change, just let me know and we can work it out.
It's going to be like Phil Collins when he did the first part of Live Aid from America and the second part of Live Aid from the UK.
I have a rough memory of that. When was that? What's the year?
1985, I want to say.
I do have a memory of that. Is that when he had a mullet and bald? Bald mullet?
The bald mullet? No, I think it was just the mullet.
That was a great look.
I forgot about that.
I wanted to mention that a couple of great friends of the program were also at BlizzCon, and I just wanted to throw their names out because I know they listen to this show, and I love these guys. Steve Hammaker is a stud, and it was so good hanging out with him.
Yes.
When he found out that Chris had read his comic Plox before, he about lost his mind. So he was super stoked about that. And then Liam O'Brien came by and had a chance to hang with Liam. He was great.
So good to see both of those guys. Finally, after talking to him forever on Twitter and
various shows and things, it was like, boom, there they are in the flesh.
Steve Hammaker did the Coverville logo, the smiley-faced Brian that you see if you go and subscribe in iTunes.
Yeah, he's a talented bastard.
He is hugely talented. Of course, voice of O'Brien, also hugely talented. And I told Tristan, I was like, all right, so this is the guy who, you know, who worked on Bone with Jeff Smith, and then we're talking to Liam O'Brien. This is the guy who voiced Illidan. He voiced the kid in Infamous 2. Yeah. He's
the ghost all over in StarCraft. He's everything. Yeah. He's everywhere, always. Every video game your son plays, there is a chance.
That Liam O'Brien is in
Liam
there.
Liam is in it. Yeah. Including Hearthstone. He plays he's Illidan in that. Well, in the trailer for it. Mm-hmm. And he's also in there as the footman.
Really?
That goes, what does he say when the footman pops? There's usually two of them, I think, right? Because they pop two at a time. Or I forget how it works.
Right.
Anyway, but that's him. So
in the rear with the gear.
Not that guy. Wrong game too. So anyway, thank you all for being here. It's been a blast.
At least the right universe though.
Yeah, you nailed it. We're done. We're going to get out of here now and you're going to do some music for us. And it's not Wednesday. Tomorrow's Wednesday. Tomorrow we'll have Nicole and it was great seeing her over the weekend as well.
Yeah.
We'll have Tom who was also there. Jeez, we were all there. And we have other things for you to enjoy. So come on back tomorrow, won't you? All right, Brian, do you have music?
I do. This one's going out to Malinor in the chat room. It says, hey, Coverville. I should probably need to read that part, blah, blah, blah. My song request isn't for a cover, but I'm hoping that's okay, given the importance of the subject matter. November 11th is Veterans Day in the USA, Armistice Day in some parts of the world, and Remembrance Day in others, including Canada. Starting after World War I, all over the world, it's a day for honoring our veterans and fallen soldiers. Firstly, a little background information. In Canada, when our fallen soldiers come home, they're normally flown into CFB Trenton and then driven a two-hour drive to the military coroner's office in Toronto. This stretch of highway has been renamed the Highway of Heroes. It's tradition for folks to gather along overpasses along this stretch of highway to pay their respects. My song request is for an original tune done by a local Canadian band called The Trues. They've got a song called Highway of Heroes, and it makes all the feels. I think it's a great tribute to the soldiers that defend our nations, both past and present. Agreed. This is a really, really good song, and it's a really good way for us, for Scott and I, to kind of honor veterans and the people who helped keep this country safe and happy and healthy and protected.
Sure.
So let's do that. This is The Trues, and the song is called Highway of Heroes.
Awesome. Let's play it now. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you then.
The day I shipped out, they numbered a dozen. Upon my return, we're 100 or so. From the coast and from the prairies, I bet they keep coming. Add one more name from Ontario. And carry me home down the highway of heroes. People above with the flags flying low. Carry me softly down the highway of heroes. True patriot love, there was never more. No visions of glory. I serve without question, a personal gain. Seek no justification, it's not part of my story. And it offers no comfort to the ones who remain. Just carry me home down the highway of heroes. People the flags flying low. Carry me softly down the highway of heroes. True patriot love, there was never more. Took up my vocation, I was called by my nation. Without hesitation, my answer I gave. Now I'm not wondering the things that I might have been. Are no consolation to the forgotten brave. So carry me home down the highway. The flags flying low. Carry me softly down the highway of heroes. True patriot love, there was never more. Carry me home down the highway of heroes. People I love with the hands down low. Carry me softly down the highway. There was never more. 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 There was never more.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Give me the box!